Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Since September, we've been listening to Jesus and watching Jesus as he's teaching his disciples, the crowds all around him, and even you and me about grace and about mercy, about living our faith, about praying and not losing heart, about what it is to be a child of God and what following him, what following Jesus really looks like. It began as we heard that God has counted the cost for our salvation and God is willing to pay it. Not willing to demand it from us, God is willing to pay it. And that God also understands our everyday difficulties and God is willing to stand beside us. Then we learned that even when we get lost, God searches for us and celebrates our return. We learned that God is willing to cheat for us and so that our salvation comes. That Jesus is willing to come back from death so that God's love will flow to us fully. We learned that our faith is enough. Because our faith is a gift from God, and God always gives what is sufficient for the day. Then we heard that following Jesus means listening and living. It means rushing back in gratitude and discovering God's yes for us and for our lives. We learned that prayer is a part of faith, and that we can always pray, not losing heart. For it is God with whom we are talking, the God who cares about us, loves us, and stands beside us. So today we have another parable, and this parable has all of these kinds of things in it. It's about living and faith. It's about prayer. It's about exaltation and humility. It's also about God. You see, in today's story that Jesus tells us, we have a Pharisee and we have a tax collector. Now, you couldn't get two more polar opposite characters for any kind of story. It's like watching an old Gene Autry Western movie, you know, where Gene and all of his friends were wearing white hats and all of the bad guys were wearing black hats. That's how polar opposite it was. And so these two characters, these two men, this Pharisee and this tax collector, the beginning of the story, they went up to the temple to pray. Now, I want us to spend a little bit of time looking at these two men, these two characters. What do we know about a Pharisee and a tax collector? Jesus was using shorthand for his day and age, so you have to come in with some kind of background information. Among the groups in Jesus' day, the one that Jesus would have connected with most are the Pharisees. Sometimes that's amazing, knowing the kind of antipathy we had between Jesus and the Pharisees throughout the Gospels. But most folks would have looked at Jesus and said, he's a Pharisee. Because the Pharisees were trying to integrate their relationship to God and God's will into their everyday lives. This is what led to things like prayer shawls and yarmulkes and mezuzahs on the doorpost and all kinds of things like that. It's what led to particular ways of washing your hands or washing your dishes or all kinds of things like that. They were ways to bring what we do every day into the world of our relationship with God. Jesus was trying to do the same kinds of things. He was trying to show us that how we live our lives can reflect our faith and God's love. The Pharisee today is a good guy. You know, he lives his life as well as he can. He's trying to live his life according to what he believes is God's will. He's taking God's instructions seriously. His life is admirable. What gets him into trouble is his attitude and his prayer. Now, the tax collector, on the other hand, is not a really great guy. In those days, tax collectors were despised by most people because they were complicit with the Roman occupation authority, right? The Romans asked them for X amount of tax, and so they were going to get that tax. But then the tax collector could, with the Romans behind him, take more, so that the tax collector could have more. They were like gangsters using extortion or protection schemes to take more than was ever required. And then they had those Roman enforcers behind them who would hurt you or your family if you were unwilling to pay. They didn't care about the people from whom they took advantage. They were out to make a buck and to grab some power. And so this man's life, this tax collector's life, is nothing we are encouraged to emulate. But his prayer is what gets him noticed. You see, the thing about this parable is that I know that Jesus would like us to live like the Pharisee more than the tax collector. And yet it's the tax collector who goes home justified. What's happening? Luke gives us a clue. When he is introducing the parable, he says that Jesus is telling this to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. That kind of sounds like that Pharisee. It's a major stumbling block for Pharisees and for Christians alike. We live our lives and then we look at them in comparison to criminals or wicked people, and it can be easy to say, well, look at me. I'm not like that. And that might even be the truth. But the truth that Jesus wants us to get excited about is the truth of God's love for all people, and not that I looked good yesterday afternoon. Our sinful selves have destroyed our righteousness, our right relationship with God, and we can't restore it. We can't repair it. We can't redo it ever. Only God can do that. And the beauty and the good news I get to share is that God is willing to do just that for you, for me, for all. Jesus wanted to stop his Pharisee friends from confusing good living with earning a prize from God. Jesus was encouraging us all to fall before God and ask for mercy. See, that's what's amazing about the tax collector in today's story. He knows that he is a bad man. He knows that he does not deserve to be in God's presence or have God listen to him, hear him, or care about him. The tax collector begs for mercy, even though he knows that he rarely shows mercy himself. He knows that he needs it, that he can't deserve it, but he asks for it anyway. It's all about God and God's grace and mercy, his love and peace. You see, it's always about God and not you or me. Today, Jesus is showing us that as we pray, we need to remember that that is God working through us and not us trying to show God how it's all supposed to be done. Here you go. That's Jesus' point. Prayer is a conversation with God, and it's a way to make our relationship with God stronger and deeper. We all have friends who, when we get a chance to talk to them, go on and on and on about how wonderful things are or how wonderful their kids are, or that's the one that sends you the 4-page Christmas letter. You all get one. You know it. And sometimes that is fabulous to hear and it's great to read about, but there are other times when you need to share. You need to share about your own weakness or about your trials. Jesus tells us today that with God, it is always the right time for us to talk about anything. You can talk about how wonderful your life is and God has been for you and your family, or you can talk about how awful things are. But it is always the right time to talk with God. All Jesus asks is that we remember our need for God. Our need for love and mercy and forgiveness, because it's not about us, it's about God. As we talk with God, we are justified. That is, our relationship with God comes back into alignment. We are called by God back into a right relationship, and we are found not guilty. In fact, instead of guilty, we are loved and washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. And from that justification, we are led to repentant lives lived for the sake of those around us and not lived for the point of scoring points for ourselves. Today, the tax collector can reform his life. He could be another Zacchaeus who could return ill-gotten gains or deal fairly from that moment on. The Pharisee can continue behaving as he has always done, but rather than comparing himself to others and finding them lacking, he can give thanks to God for the blessings he receives and then share those blessings with others. It's not about us. It's always about God and God's love for all of us raining down. Today, Jesus isn't telling us that we should be berating ourselves or praising ourselves. It's about remembering that God is the source of our life. It is remembering that all the good that happens in our lives come from when God is working with us, when we and God are connected in love and care. When that happens, the world is beautiful, the kingdom is at hand, and that is worth sharing. Amen.